The Green Bay Packers broke a five-game winning streak by losing 21-13 to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Somewhat surprisingly, it was the defense that played well, while the offense suffered. We'll break it all down on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Stone, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're discussing a loss to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. The Packers breaking a five-game win streak. Very disappointing, to say the least. Was not an easy game to go on the road to Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo and play a team that has more going for it than it has any time in a long time in Buffalo. Playing meaningful football in the month of December. That's not something that's come in quite a while in Buffalo. So they were definitely up for the challenge, and the Packers were not. We start today with the
Packers news of the day.
Packers lose 21-13 yesterday, and the surprising part was the way the Packers lost. You know, coming off that Monday night football game in which the Atlanta Falcons made this terrific comeback to make it a one-score game with just minutes to go after the Packers hold a commanding halftime lead, it was the defense that let the Packers down, not only this past Monday night, but for most of the season. Few people had worries about the Packers' offense, just assuming they would come through with the likes of the NFL's MVP candidate in Aaron Rodgers, a very likely Pro Bowl wide receiver in Jordy Nelson, the reigning NFL Rookie of the Year in Eddie Lacy, and a vastly improved Packers offensive line. You just assumed the Packers' offense was going to be fine. Well, that wasn't the case. Aaron Rodgers, perhaps the story of the day, has his worst game in a long time. Aaron Rodgers completing merely about 40% of his passes and throws 25 incompletions on the day. And that was just not Aaron Rodgers-like. Rodgers is typically the guy who puts the team on his shoulders, and even when the rest of the team is playing bad, it's him who picks up the slack. But he was just off on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers just couldn't find a groove. Lots of passes behind wide receivers, and certainly he was plagued by a couple drops, five or six of them, which just doesn't help whatsoever. But let's not place the entire blame on the receiving core, albeit they deserve their share of the blame, but Aaron Rodgers was just not spot on out there. And surprisingly too, perhaps, is that he had terrific protection. He had all day in the pocket, but nobody could get open against this Buffalo Bills defense. Bills come into the game with this lauded defensive line. Three former first-round draft picks, Mario Williams included on the defensive line. You know, this highly regarded unit that the Packers' offensive line is going to face, and the Packers' offensive line is up to the task. They do a terrific job, not just in pass protection, but opening up holes for the Packers' run game as well. And it ends up being the receivers dropping the football, Aaron Rodgers not connecting with them, seemed to be some sort of communication issues in that, you know, nonverbal communication. Just there was several, especially early in the game, those back shoulder throws in which the timing just wasn't there whatsoever. You know, several of those throws were not even close to being completed. But, you know, just Aaron Rodgers having an off day. And I have an interview here with Aaron Rodgers from his post-game press conference that I wanted to play and get some of his comments on the game and what transpired on the football field. Listen in.
Frustrating game. They did a good job on defense. Kind of slowed us down a little bit. We had some opportunities and didn't execute very well on offense.
What was the defense doing, Aaron, that really... Was it more the pass rush, the coverage
downfield? No, the protection was great. There was not much of a pass rush that bothered me. I was able to move around the pocket. They were physical outside with our receivers, and we were able to get away with it all day. And we just, we had some chances, missed on them, some bad throws, some missed opportunities. And, they played what we thought they were going to play, and we just didn't execute very well.
Aaron Rodgers made several references, not just what you heard, but his entire post-game press conference made reference to the physicalness of the Bills' defensive backs downfield. And that is very kind of true on the surface. Definitely a physical, aggressive unit. Now, read between the lines, and what Aaron Rodgers is saying is he thinks there was a couple times where perhaps there should have been pass interference calls that the Packers didn't get. And I certainly saw a lot of this rumbling on social media, but you know what I say? I say that sour grapes. I personally thought there was one pass interference call that I thought was blatant that should have been called, where Stephon Gilmore... tugged the jersey. You could just see a handful of jersey in his hand, and this was in the first half of the game. Other than that, I don't know. I personally am happy when the refs let the players play, especially if they're questionable. You know, just go out there. You know, when you see a handful of jersey and a jersey being tugged, I get it. Throw the flag. But I mean, if one player gently has his hand on the player's back hip, you know, I'm not about a flag being thrown on that play. I thought that was good, aggressive defense. And you know what? I thought it went both ways. The Packers' defensive backs got away with just as much in being physical with them. And I liked that aspect of the way the game was reffed. I personally just thought, you know, you have to do more to get open than crying for calls that should or should not have been made. And the Packers, you know, receiving unit by and large didn't do that. And you know what? Nobody stepped up whose name wasn't Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb yesterday. And that was, I believe, perhaps the biggest downfall of all was, you know, Randall Cobb, I thought, except for kind of being out of sync with Aaron Rodgers, perhaps early on, Randall Cobb only got better, though, and ended up leading the team in receiving. And Jordy Nelson, of course, I mean, I'd be remiss if I don't mention the dropped ball when the Packers were backed up near their own goal line. It would have been a 90 plus yard touchdown, perhaps, had Jordy Nelson caught it, hits him square in the hands. That pass is right there, hitting him right in stride. Couldn't be any better. Jordy Nelson botches it. What very well could have been, you know, the game winning touchdown, and you know, things could have played out very differently had he made that catch and scored. And Jordy Nelson definitely deserves to be pointed out for that. He's had a terrific season, but I mean, there was an opportunity lost right there. But I mean, more so than that, I think, it is nobody stepped up outside of Cobb and Nelson in the receiving department, whether it's wide receivers or tight ends or running backs. Did a tight end catch a pass yesterday? Yeah, I guess Andrew Corliss did, but he certainly didn't catch a lot of them. He certainly had his own dropped pass, I know, early in the game. Richard Rodgers didn't factor in. The running backs, while they made a few catches, didn't do anything with them. And you know, any wide receiver not named Nelson or Cobb did nothing. Davante Adams, I don't know, did Davante Adams have a catch? Maybe he had one, something like that. He continues to be hit or miss. It's either a good game from Davante Adams, or he just doesn't look on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. He too a victim of not being on the same wavelength on those back shoulder throws. Jared Boykin, the only thing he's remembered for is the pass going off his hands and ends up being intercepted. You got to come down with that if it hits you. And I realize there was tight coverage on that, but come on. You're an NFL wide receiver. That's what you're paid to do. Make the tough catch. It seems like Jared Boykin has only gone backwards this year, and I don't really get it. You know, he in his, what is it, third NFL season, he should only be moving forward with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. And it just hasn't happened this year. So that's a big reason the Packers struggled in this game. And you know what? Who wasn't the problem? Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy did fantastic. Seventh consecutive game with at least 100 yards from scrimmage for Lacy. Scores the team's first and only touchdown. In fact, on that touchdown drive, of the 80 yards the Packers covered, Lacy covered more than 50 of them himself. You know, he had like three runs in a row of, was it at least 15 yards? Something crazy like that. And he ends up averaging 6.5 yards per carry, I believe. Eddie Lacy doing a terrific job. James Starks was basically equally effective. Whenever the Packers put Randall Cobb, the handful of times they did in the backfield, he was effective. So Randall Cobb averaging like 5 yards a carry. Packers' run game is working. One of the bigger problems then was the Packers' play calling on the offensive side of the football. Head coach Mike McCarthy not sticking with the run nearly enough on a day that the passing game was just not clicking. That's really tough. I mean, you got to look in yourself in the mirror quite a bit if you're Mike McCarthy and say, wow, I really did this team a disservice by not calling more running plays. It's unfathomable when the Packers, I believe, and I do have the statistics here, I should look this up, the game end statistics here, the Packers average yards per carry. Yeah, the Packers averaged on the ground 6.3 yards per carry on the day. That does include three Rodgers scrambles that weren't designed runs that ended up covering a fair amount of yards. But still, over six yards a carry. I mean, come on. The offensive line is doing yeoman's work back there, and the Packers not taking advantage of it. You know, and you know what that does, too? If all of a sudden the running game is working and the Packers just keep going back to it and Eddie Lacy is burning everybody on the ground, well, all of a sudden the Bills are going to have to change what they're doing. They're going to have to cheat a safety up to start to stop Eddie Lacy. And then that opens up the passing game. That is what allows Aaron Rodgers to go from bad to good. When he's got something to expose, that's the killer right there. You know, on a day that the Packers passing game is off, Mike McCarthy did it no favors by not putting Aaron Rodgers in a position to succeed. That's the killer from this game. That's what hurts more than anything. Mike McCarthy doing a poor job. And you know, here I am talking about all these negatives and whatever. I should say here that this is not the end of the world. You know, the Packers lost a game and it hurt in their chances to win home field advantage and all that. But this is still a team that can win a Super Bowl. I mean, this is really not all that unfamiliar to what happened the year the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010. You remember that they had a loss and then they needed to win. The Packers were in a must-win position the last two games of the year. The last two games of the regular season, they had to win to even qualify. And while it's not quite that dire for the Packers right now, you know, they're in a position where they need to win at least to, like, get a home game, get a bye, things like that, which they certainly want to do. But I think this is a team that can overcome it. I think this is a team that can receive a wake-up call. You know, it was perhaps the wake-up call for the defense last week in that game against the Falcons. Maybe it's the wake-up call for the offense this week. We'll get to special teams. We're not through with them yet. They should have been receiving wake-up calls for a long time. I don't know if that's going to get fixed or not. But, I mean, this is a good team. I do think Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy who can respond from this. I mean, obviously, this is the worst game of the year. Not to say that, I mean, he's had other bad, he's had average games before. This was a bad game. And I think he's the type of guy who responds like he did in 2010 and has done before. And the Packers can go on a run here. So you know, it's not the end of the world. It's a disappointing loss, but this is a team that can go on a long playoff run here. They can. But it's got to start next week when they travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. You sit there and look, oh, they're taking on a team that won two games all season. Well, the Packers better come out fired up and just blow this team out of the water to start instilling some confidence and, you know, showing themselves that they can beat, you know, opponents on the road and just beat opponents handily in general. You know, that's got to start happening. But to get back to the post-game analysis here, the Packers offense is the one that struggles. Packers defense now. Packers defense does a surprisingly good job. You know, 1 week after they go allow Julio Jones to run rampant on the Packers secondary, the Packers secondary plays pretty darn well. They don't give up a single touchdown. Remember, the only Bills touchdown of the day comes on that punt return. So the Packers defense doesn't give up a single touchdown, albeit they give up several field goals. But still, this is progress. This is remarkable progress. They allow a season low in yards. This is a good job. Tremont Williams in particular, I thought, played well with his coverage. He forces the only turnover of the day. Nice interception of quarterback Kyle Orton, intended for rookie phenom Sammy Watkins. I thought that was a terrific play. Morgan Burnett, by and large, played very well. There were times others in the secondary kind of got exposed here and there. Sam Shields gave up a few completions. Ha-ha Clinton Dix missed a few tackles. But they didn't give up the big one. And, it speaks to the how the Packers secondary responded. There's a lot to like there. Now, it wasn't all fantastic. Sam Barrington had three costly penalties, which were rather ridiculous. Julius Peppers looked invisible. And just shortly before the show, I was discussing this with somebody, had brought it up. Well, I had brought up on Twitter that Julius Peppers was the lowest graded player by Pro Football Focus on the Packers defense. And discussing his game and whatever. I think the Packers need to sub out Julius Peppers a little more often than they have. Here's a guy who's like the oldest player on the team, 34 years old. He's obviously had done a good job earlier this season. Past 2 weeks, he's looked especially invisible in pass rush, which is, you know, what he's getting paid the big bucks for. He looked good in run defense last week against the Atlanta Falcons. He basically looked poor in everything this week against the Buffalo Bills. But I mean, you know, Julius Peppers has got to start offering more as a pass rusher. He's got to start coming up with some sacks, a few more bad passes, whatever it is in the pass rush. There's got to be more production there. And I think, you know, what I see Julius Peppers, and this includes rush defense as well, he gets caught flat-footed out there. It's like all of a sudden he's in a position to make a play, and then he's not like broken down at all. He's just like standing up, and then the play comes to him, and he obviously doesn't have the speed of running backs or quarterbacks or whoever's got the football, but he's not putting himself in a position to make a play. He looks fatigued out there at times. I just think if there were a heavier rotation, maybe Julius Peppers is a little more fresh out there to make a few more plays, because he's playing some big-time snaps. You know, I think Julius Peppers played 60-plus snaps yesterday. You know, let's take 10 of those away at least. Get him a little more fresh and more effective when he is out there. Now, granted, you know, if the Packers are going to do that, guys like Nick Perry are going to have to stay healthy. And I should, you know, Nick Perry, although he came off the field briefly yesterday, he did re-enter the game. Kudos to him for gutting that out. But, you know, he's going to have to stay out there and be effective. Mike Neal's going to have to stay out there and be effective if this is going to be a rotation where they can get Julius Peppers off. Packers defensive line looks up and down. LaTroy Guyon, I thought, did a good job. He submarined the Bills offensive line on that one third and one stuff in which they forced a punt. He had a sack. Clay Matthews had two sacks. I thought, you know, there were certainly lots of positives to take away on the Packers' defensive side of the football. A.J. Hawk, in fact, had a pretty darn good game for a guy who's received a lot of attention lately for his demotion. A.J. Hawk, when they were in the base 3-4 defense, played pretty well. Perhaps, you know, even better than Sam Barrington yesterday. That doesn't mean I don't think the Packers shouldn't stick with Sam Barrington, but he had a poor game. A.J. Hawk had a good game. That doesn't necessarily, you know, that's not, you know, doesn't represent the whole season, but, you know, it does represent yesterday. On special teams, Packers, you know, get bit on special teams once again. And this is becoming a season-long trend. And, you know, the most disappointing thing about this is the first month of the season, the month of September, Packers special teams played really, really well. I was like, wow, this unit at the end of September, I was like, wow, this unit is holding up well. This could be the best unit of Packers special teams in a long time. You know, with Mason Crosby making field goals, Tim Mastay rarely punting, and when he is, doing a pretty good job. Hey, Randall Cobb and Micah Hyde splitting duties at punt return. You thought, oh man, this is a pretty good unit. Well, the wheels have come off. The Packers allow their sixth block on special teams this season, allowing a field goal to get blocked, and allowing the punt return for a touchdown. And, you know, when you have two big errors like that, it just is mind-boggling sometimes. I thought on the punt return for a touchdown, the coverage unit over-pursued. Brett Goud, Brandon Bostic, Jayrone Elliott. They all get down there, and then they fail to break down and keep the punt returner ahead of them, you know. And by the time he's behind, it's like all of a sudden he breaks the threshold of the cover, the, you know, the first wave of coverage unit. And now all of a sudden they break down and got a reverse direction. And by then it's too late. The punt coverage was terrible. They allow the blocked field goal. It appears as if Corey Lindsley probably... It wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible, the field goal block. Corey Lindsley probably allowed a little more penetration than he should have. If there's anybody guilty out there, it's Corey Lindsley, which is a shame. Corey Lindsley graded out as the top Packers offense, defense, it didn't matter. Corey Lindsley graded out with the highest grade of the day on offense with the plus 4.0 grade by Pro Football Focus, and has a terrific, terrific game, especially considering he's a rookie. Corey Lindsley, a Pro Bowl candidate, to say the least. But he probably allows a little too much penetration. It is tough because I don't think he allowed a ton of penetration by any means. It's just that when you're lining up for a 53-yard field goal, long field goals don't have as much trajectory. That's just physics. That's the way it is. You know, it's not, I don't know if it's Mason Crosby, if it came out too low or whatever. It seemed normal to me. You know, it's just when you're sitting there and lining up for an extra point, you can sit there and try to kick an extra point high just to get above the you know, defense, because you don't need distance on an extra point. You can purposely try to have a high trajectory. Well, when you're sitting there and it's a 50-plus yard field goal, trajectory's different. It's got to be more of a line drive. You don't get the height on those. So it's tough. It's tough. I don't think Corey Lindsley allowed a ton of penetration, but he probably did allow just enough for that kick to be blocked. But I mean, regardless here, I mean, this is now the sixth block of the season, and pretty much the bulk of these problems have come since TJ Lang and Josh Sinton were taken off the kick protection units after they suffered those foot injuries during the bye. And I understand the Packers want to get them off the field. The Packers got to consider putting TJ Lang and Josh Sinton back there if those guys are healthy. It's just so tough. I mean, to sit there and watch them have six blocks in the past, is it 11 weeks? You know, I can't remember the first block they allowed of the season. I think it was the Chicago Bears game early in the year. You know, since that time, it's practically a block a game, it seems like, has been happening. And you know, that's it's a big reason the Packers lost yesterday. Special teams doing terrible. You know, I don't know what they're going to... They almost got to get rid of Sean Slocum in the offseason if the Packers don't win the Super Bowl. You know, maybe that might be the only way he ends up keeping his job, is if the Packers win the Super Bowl. You know, it's come that far. I mean, you certainly don't want to be the person to overreact. Well, one block kick and fire the guy. Well, it's not one blocked kick. It's now six blocked kicks. You know, something's got to change in order for the Packers to get better. And it hasn't been personnel. Like I said, maybe they should go back to the old personnel with Sinton and Lang back there on the kick, you know, extra point field goal units, because the guys they've got there just aren't getting the job done. Brett Goud, by the way, maybe it's time to, you know, he was part of that, you know, punt coverage unit. And certainly while Brett Goud has been perfect with his snapping, perfect for six seasons now,
His weakness certainly is coverage. He's not exactly a spry, nimble guy. Although, if he's constantly, you know, perfect with his placement on his snaps, I don't know how you go away from that. I mean, that's the one thing he's been 100% for 6 years. How do you argue with that? Anyway, disappointing loss for the Green Bay Packers. As I understand it, the Packers clinch a playoff berth with a win over Tampa Bay. That's just clinching the berth. That does not saying what seed they are, whatever. That's just saying they clinch a playoff berth with a win. That's what I heard from Bart Winkler on K107 this morning, and maybe you can confirm that to me on the live blog. I'm not sure whether that's the truth or not. But the Packers still have a lot to play for here. Still a lot on the line in this, of course, Week 17 game against the Detroit Lions, in which, I mean, if both teams win this weekend, this upcoming weekend, you know, the NFC title is still on the line. And you know, if also, by the way, if the Packers win out, if the Packers win their last two games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, against the Detroit Lions, the Packers finish no lower than the number two seed in the NFL. With the number two seed brings a bye. With the number two seed brings a home game, and with a number two seed brings the possibility that they could host the NFC Championship game, albeit the number one seed would have to lose in order to do that. But so, I mean, there's still a lot for the Packers to play for here. That's number two seed. You can live with that. That would mean you're at least not going on the road to, but there's still so much to play out here. I mean, we don't know who the number one seed's going to be. Looking like it's going to be in the NFC West, you know, either Seattle or Arizona. You got to think that Seattle is perhaps favored here. They're playing head-to-head this upcoming week, and that'll be a huge game. And then the Seattle, I believe, has a home game to close the season against the Rams. But, I mean, you never know. You never know. Arizona miraculously somehow has won without their quarterback here as of late, and maybe that continues. But, I mean, there is a small chance the Packers can maintain the number one seed overall and gain home field advantage. Some very specific things would have to happen. Like the Cardinals would have to beat the Seahawks this week, and then the Seahawks would have to lose the following week at home to the St. Louis Rams. The odds of these things happening exactly like that are pretty remote, but at least the good news is Packers win out no lower than the number two seed, so that's good. But things got to change around. After losing at the Bills, you certainly can't take any road game lightly now, even against the 2-11 Buccaneers or whatever the record is now, and following that up with a game against a dangerous Detroit Lions team in Week 17 with a lot on the line for both teams. Going to be a very interesting end to the season, no doubt about it. But what we have now,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers today on a Monday, the day after a loss. The big news is we put on the Packers calendar, and I suppose this helps you turn the page a little bit, that the Packers getting into the holiday spirit. Mike Daniels, Micah Hyde, Brad Jones ringing bells for the Salvation Army at Bay Park Square Mall in a suburb of Green Bay, Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, practically right across the border from Green Bay, practically Green Bay, on Monday evening. Starting at 6 p.m., if you're in the area, typically what they do is the Packers players sign autographs in return for donations. Great to see them getting in the Christmas spirit. Helps you turn the page a little bit from this loss and think about the bigger things that the Salvation Army does. There's more important things out there than the outcome of a football game. So helps you put things in perspective a little bit. and knowing that these guys are donating their time at least for a little bit to a good cause on a Monday. All the usual media appearances on Monday. Tremont Williams will be the guest on the Mike McCarthy Show. Latroy Guyon will be the guest on Packers Live. All sorts of radio and television shows tonight. Check it out. We've got the roundup at the Packers calendar. But that'll do it for today's show of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us for a little bit of therapy session here on a Monday morning. As much therapy for me, almost, as it is for you on the day after a loss. So, but hopefully the Packers get back on track and we can get the season, you know, get them going here, starting with a game against the Buccaneers this upcoming Sunday. We'll break that game down later in the week. Our guest on Wednesday will be Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, joining us as he does every Wednesday. But join us 8:30 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. On behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirby. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Ace in the Hole by the Rads, the Radiators, on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.